you look inside your outline, you'll find your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message, Peace in the Storm. We're reading from Matthew's Gospel, beginning in verse 22 of chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touched the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have many names on our prayer list today. Lord, we have many names on these connection cards. And the truth is, God, in a crowd this size, there are many people going through a storm right now. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit might rain down on this place today. I pray, God, that hearts will be comforted, spirits will be encouraged. I pray, God, that lives will be touched. And Father, that all of us will find peace in you, in the storm. Speak to us now, God, through your word. For we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you could get in a time machine and you could go back to the time of Jesus and his ministry, which events would you like to witness? Well, for me, the number one event that I would want to witness is I'd want to be outside the tomb when Jesus come walking out. Yeah. I think the next best scene to that would be when Jesus was dying on the cross for my sin. But outside of the cross and the resurrection, the story we have just read would be one of the most exciting things to have witnessed in the ministry of Jesus Christ. This takes place on the Sea of Galilee, one of the most beautiful places in the Holy Land. And I've had the privilege to go over there several times. We're going back in about a year and a half. If you've not signed up, you can still sign up and get ready to go. But when we go out there, we're on the Sea of Galilee on the boat, we will stop in the middle of the sea and have a worship service out there. And it is a special time to be out there on the sea in that boat worshiping Jesus Christ. But Tim, I want you to think about it. We're out there in the daytime when the weather is beautiful and the sea is calm. Think about in the middle of the night, in the storm is over and they're worshiping Jesus in that boat. Pastor Ken, you've been a lot more times than I have. Have you ever been over there and went out on the boat at night? I got to thinking about that. I wonder if they'd let us go out at night. And maybe it'd be really dark and we could picture what it was like in this story we just read. Well, when I was over there, on one of the times I was there, we had a really clear day, and so I took a picture on the boat of the surrounding area, and I think we have the slide up here. And what I want you to see about the Sea of Galilee is this. It is surrounded by mountains. The Sea of Galilee is actually 700 feet below sea level. And then it has mountains around it that are several thousand feet above sea level. And what happens is the cold air comes across the top of that mountain and it swoops down and the warm air off of the sea collides with that cold air and sometimes there are violent storms. That's what happened in the story that we're reading about today. Now keep in mind that Peter, James, and John were all fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They've been out there many times. They've grown up in this area. They've seen many storms, but something about this storm put fear in their hearts. It was a violent storm that came up. And I believe when they got in the boat and they went out there, the water was calm. But while they were in the middle of the sea, it became a huge nightmare. Here a while back, some of our folks had invited me to go down to the beach and go fishing. And they had a boat. I've never been out in the ocean in a little boat. Okay? And so I said, all right, we're going to go out there, but I don't want to go a long, long way. I don't want to go so far, I can't see the land. And so we went out to a reef that was about 3 miles in the ocean. We're in a 20-foot boat. 3 miles out in the ocean. Now, when we went out there, the water was really, really smooth and calm. We'd been fishing for a couple of hours, and all of a sudden the wind picked up, and the swells were 5 or 6 feet high. We're out there fishing like this right here. I mean, it's just a rocking. And the captain, that is one of our members, Matt Burgess, he said, I believe we need to head back to the shore. And I said, I'm all for that. Now, he has a 200-horsepower engine on the back of that boat. But as we're trying to get back to the shore, I'm telling you, we were struggling. We were going against that. And you get up on the crest of one of them waves, and you hear the engine go, because it was out of the water. It was in daytime. We're in a motorboat. And we get back to the shore, and Matt looks at me and said, Preacher, I'm going to have to confess, I was a little scared. And I thought, wow, if the captain of the boat is scared, we should have been scared too. Well, on this particular night, it was a whole lot worse conditions. They had a less seaworthy boat. It was pitch black dark, and they were in the middle of a storm. But what we're going to see is that you can have peace even in the storms of life. How is that possible? Well, the first thing I would say to you, if you're in a storm, is determine the type of storm you're in. That is, there are different storms, and you need different responses. Ask yourself, is this a storm that others have created? An example from your Bible is in Genesis 37 and verse 28. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of a cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. Notice here that Joseph is in a mess. He is in the storm of his life. His jealous brothers had thrown him into a pit. They pulled him out of the pit to sell him into slavery to a foreign country. For the next 13 years of Joseph's life, he's either going to be in prison or he's going to be a slave because of what his brothers did to him. Now, let me tell you why that's important. Sometimes you will be in a mess. Sometimes you will be in a storm. And it's not because you've done something wrong, but somebody around you, it might be your spouse, it might be your children, it might be your coworker, it might be your employer, but somebody's going to make a bad decision. And when they make that bad decision, it's going to bring a mess into your life. And you'll find yourself in a storm. Now, let me tell you why this is important. A lot of times when you find yourself in this storm, the devil will whisper in your ear, "This is all your fault. If you really loved God and you really served God, you wouldn't be in this mess. You wouldn't be in this hard place in your life." I submit to you, Joseph hadn't done anything wrong to deserve what happened to him. Somebody else, his brothers, made bad decisions that caused him to suffer. But the devil will say, "Oh, you don't have enough faith in God. Well, God's punishing you. That's why this bad stuff is happening to you." You see, that's why we have to determine what type of storm am I in. But sometimes it's not your brother gets you in trouble. Sometimes you do it all by yourself. And so the second type of storm, you ask, is this a storm that I have created? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. This is the Mediterranean Sea. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," Jonah replied, "and it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Jonah's out and he's in a boat. He's in a storm. But notice it wasn't other people that made a bad decision. It was Jonah that made a bad decision. What did Jonah do to get himself in this mess? He disobeyed a direct command of God. God said, "Jonah, you go to Nineveh." He got on a boat and went the opposite direction of where God told him to go. And so he's in a storm. He's in a mess because he made a bad decision. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we make bad decisions. And I'm going to tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is when you learn from your bad decision. I learned that's not very wise. I'm not going to do it again. Jonah had made a bad decision. Sometimes we do that because our faith is not very deep. Now, you may think that the trees in the rainforest, because they get so much rain, that they would be very hardy and very strong. You'd be wrong. The trees in the rainforest, because the water is so plentiful and close to the ground, they don't put down very deep roots. And so if a wind comes by, they're easily toppled over. However, if you take the mesquite tree in Texas, it is hot, it is dry, and they have to put a root way down into the ground in order to find water. It's almost impossible to blow over a mesquite tree. And so sometimes we will find ourselves in a mess, in a storm, because our faith is not very deep. And sometimes God will allow these storms to come in our life to grow our faith. That's what he's doing in the disciples' life here. So that brings me to the third type of storm. Number three, is this a storm that God has created? Verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Notice here, Jesus made them get in the boat. They're out there, Dale. They're in a storm, but they're in the center of God's will. Did you know you can be doing everything right and still be in the storm? You can be doing everything right. You can be in the perfect will of God and still be in the middle of a mess. You can still be in the middle of a storm. He made them. That word appears 9 times in the New Testament. It says made. Sometimes it's translated forced. Sometimes it's translated compelled. Think about that. Jesus forced them into the boat. Jesus compelled them to get in the boat. He said, go to the other side. They're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And yet, they're in the middle of a storm. You see, the storm that you're in right now may not be that God's punishing you. It may be that God is growing you and growing your faith. I have another picture here from the Sea of Galilee in the Holy Land. If you'd pop that up. I want you to see how rough the water can get. You can start out the water being like glass, as smooth as could be. Before you get to the other side, it's like this right here. And so what happened was they started out, the water was calm, it was peaceful, but before they got to the other side, it's actually worse than the picture you see. And all of that happened being in the will of God. In one other occasion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 22, there's another storm. I love this story because Jesus is actually on the boat. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he, that's Jesus, fell asleep. A squall, that's a violent storm, came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. All right, so you have this storm. Again, they're in the will of God. Jesus is in the boat with them. But notice Jesus is at peace. He is asleep. Now, they're fighting the waves. They're bailing water. And Jesus is at perfect peace. Did you know you can have perfect peace of God in the midst of a difficult time? You can't describe it, but you can experience it. In October of 1991... Andrea Gale, a 72-foot fishing ship with a 365 horsepower turbo diesel engine, set out on a fishing trip. The problem is three storms came together to create the perfect storm. You may have read the book or you may have seen the movie. Here's what I want you to know about that storm. As they were out there in the middle of that storm, that storm was so powerful that it had more energy than all of the nuclear arsenal of America and Russia combined. Scientists calculate there was so much energy in this cyclone, in this hurricane, this perfect storm, that there was enough energy there to generate all of the electricity America would need for 4 years. That's a massive storm. And where did that storm come from? I believe that storm simply was God putting his finger in the water and stirring it. That's what a mighty God we serve. So when you're in the middle of the storm, remember, the God that you serve is bigger than any storm you will face. All right, so we're going to begin by determining what type of storm. And then secondly, when you're in a storm, you need to guard against some negative influences. There's going to be some negative things come against you. The first one is guard against impatience. In Acts 27, verse 9, much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because now it was after the fast, so Paul warned them. Paul is going to be on a ship. He's going to Rome, and they're going to be caught in a hurricane for 14 days. It ends up busting up the ship. They end up floating around on pieces of wood. And Paul's saying, don't do it, don't do it. But what happened was the captain of the ship was impatient. No, we're going to do it now. Sometimes when you're in a mess, sometimes when you're in a storm, you say, well, I need to do something. I need to do something now. And when what you really need to do is to be still and wait on God. But we get impatient. We got any impatient people here? I believe we do. It reminds me of a story I read many years ago that a woman had been outside. She came inside. She had four children. And when she walked into the living room, she was in a state of shock. Because what she saw in her living room was her four children playing with four baby skunks. So she took a deep breath and she says, children, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to jump up and run out of this house as fast as you can. Are you ready? One, two, three. And every child jumped up, grabbed a skunk, and ran out of the house. You know what I take away from that story? A lot of us are carrying around our skunk. Yeah. We're in the midst of a storm. What are we doing? We're carrying that skunk around with us. Can I tell you something? As far as I know of, a skunk won't kill you. A skunk will, though, stink the place up. And so when I say you're carrying around the skunk, you say you're in the storm. This storm's not going to kill you, but if you don't let go of the skunk, you're going to stink the place up by carrying around the garbage that's in your life. You need to avoid the negative influence of impatience. And then secondly, guard against listening to fear. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Notice here they cried out in fear. Let me tell you what I like about that. The Bible doesn't say they cried out in faith. They cried out in fear. Do you understand? God will hear you even if you're crying out, and it's not by faith trusting in Him, but you're afraid. God still hears you when you cry out. Aren't you glad of that? Not only that, but what did Jesus say? He says, it is I. Now, I'm telling you, I love this. In the original language, it is ego, I may. It literally means I am. You make the connection there. Remember Moses, when God said, I want you to lead my people out. He said, well, God, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. Tell them Jehovah God sent you. I am that I am. I always was. I always will be. The great I am Jehovah God is there in the middle of your storm. You say, I am. Well, that don't even make any sense. I am what? That's the whole point. I am. Fill in the blank. Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider. Jehovah Rapha, I am your healer. Jehovah Shalom, I am your peace. Jehovah Tzedek, I am your righteousness. Whatever you need, just fill in the blank. God says, I am whatever you need. Corey Ten Boom said it this way. If you're on a train and you go through a tunnel, and it gets dark in that tunnel, you don't jump off of the train in fear. You sit there in your seat, and you have trust that the engineer is going to see you through. Well, Jesus is the great I am. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the great I am that will see you through the darkness. And then number three, guard against listening to doubt. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" I love this story. Now, if you'd have been out there in the middle of the night, you're in the middle of a horrible storm, looks like you might drown, what would you do? "Well, let's get out of the boat." I mean, that's like being in an airplane and say, "Well, let's just jump out." "Well, if you don't get out here in the water, what's going to happen?" "Well, you're drowned. Let's stay in the boat. Even if the boat sinks, it's made out of wood. Let's hold on to something." But Peter says, "Jesus, if it's you, command me to come out on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on, Peter." And he stepped out. Can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine if you're Peter and you stepped over there in the edge and you didn't sink? I mean, when he put his foot down, what did it feel like? Did it feel like jello or did it feel like concrete? I mean, what was it like when he put his foot out there, huh? And he put his foot out there and he doesn't sink. So he puts his other foot out there, all right? He said, "Oh, man, this is good. I'm liking this, you know." I mean, Peter's the only person to ever walk on water besides Jesus. Can you imagine? He's out there walking. And he's going to Jesus. Can you imagine? "Oh, I'm telling you, he's getting a strutting now, right? Woo, this is good. This is good. I'm walking on water." And all of a sudden, a wave crashes in his face. He's like, "Oh, what was that? Oh, what am I doing out of the boat? Oh, this is crazy." He got out of the boat because Jesus told him to. Peter said, "I'd rather be out in the middle of the storm with Jesus than to be in the boat without Jesus." He stepped out of the boat. He overcame his doubts. But then when he took his eyes off, he began to sink. And that's the fourth guard that we need to take, and that is against losing our focus. In verse 30, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" You ever tell you what I love about that? God answers short prayers. I mean, these are three words. "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached down and picked him up. You understand that God can help you in the storm, and it's not based on how well you can pray, but it's on how well God can answer your prayers. So Peter was sinking, he reached down, and he picked him up. What happened? He took his eyes off of Jesus, put his eyes on the storm. You see, some of you are in a hard place right now. And you're in a hard place because you're focused not on Jesus, your solution. You're focused on your problem. You're focused on your mess. You're focused on your storm. You're focused on your pain. You're focused on your hurt instead of the great physician. Florence Chadwick was an awesome athlete. First woman to ever swim across the English Channel. In preparation for that, she went to Catalina Island and swam from Catalina Island to the coast of California. It was very foggy that day, and she had been swimming in the ocean for 15 hours and 55 minutes. Now let that sink in. You're swimming in the ocean 15 hours. I can't imagine walking 15 hours. She was less than a half a mile from her destination. She was less than a half a mile from the shore. But she signaled to the boats around her, says, "Take me in." It says, I quit. I give up." And they said, "No, you don't like much more to go. Just stay with it." And she says, "No," says, "get me out of the water." So they pulled her out of the water. And when the reporter said, "You were less than 30 minutes away from shore. Why did you quit?" She said, "Well, I didn't quit because I got tired. I quit because I couldn't see the finish line. I couldn't see the shore for the fall." That is, she lost her focus. You and I need to be focused on Jesus Christ. Don't let the fog distract you from what God wants to do. And then lastly, apply some divine assurances when you're in the storm. What are some of those? Number one, remember the prayers of Jesus. In verse 23, after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Where's Jesus? He's up on the mountainside. Where are they? They're down here. So what is Jesus doing when they're down there in the sea and he's up on the mountain? He's praying. What do you think Jesus is praying for? You reckon he's praying, now lay me down to sleep? No. You reckon he's praying for himself? Lord, I've had a really bad day. I need some help. Now, the Scripture doesn't say what he's praying for, but I'm going to tell you what I think he's praying for. I think he's praying for the guys in the boat. I think he's up on the mountain. He's looking down. He sees them, and he's praying, Father, help them. God, help them. Father, give them faith. God, give them courage. God, see them safe to the other side. Jesus was praying for them in the midst of their storm. Now, let me tell you something that I believe is really, really encouraging. Flip over to the back of your outline. Notice what he's doing now. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. You understand, where's Jesus at right now? He's up on Glory Mountain. He's looking down to where you're at, and he sees the storm you're in. He sees the mess that you're in. And what is he doing right now? He is at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for you. I don't know about you, but that encourages me that in the storm, Jesus is praying for me. But if you're a believer in Christ, you have another encouragement. Notice here, Romans 8:27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. When you put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside. So right now, Jesus, the Son of God, is at the right hand of God praying for you, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is making groanings of intercession, praying for you in ways you don't even know how to pray for yourself. Isn't that wonderful? He's praying for us. And then secondly, remember the promises of God. Verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, get in the boat. Go to the other side. They had the promise in the midst of the storm that they were in the will of God. They had the promise that they were going to go to the other side. You and I have the promises of God when we're in a storm, and all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Let me share with you one of those. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. In other words, what's God say? He says he's going to be with you every step of the way. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to see you through this storm. You're not in this by yourself. You're not in it alone. God says, I'm right there with you. A dear old saint would read her Bible, and as she'd read a Bible, she'd come to a promise. She'd write T and P beside of it. T and P. And her family would see her all the time sitting there reading her Bible. One day she was there in a rocking chair. She was reading her Bible. And next moment she was in the presence of God. She died sitting right there in that rocking chair. And they went over there and they looked at her Bible where she was reading. And there was a T and a P on several of the pages. And they got to flipping through it and they thought, what does T and P stand for? And they got to the end of it and they found where it was written out, tried and proven. Beside every verse that was a promise, she put T and P. I've tried it and I've proven God to be true to his word. We have the assurance of God's promises. And then number three, remember the presence of God when you're in the midst of the storm. Verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Well, when is the fourth watch of the night? at 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you understand? At 4 o'clock in the morning is the darkest hour of the day. Jesus came to them in the darkest hour. Notice they didn't go to Him. He came to them. You and I are promised the presence of God in the midst of a storm. Little boy and his grandpa went for a walk out in the woods. And they walked and walked, and they came upon a stream and a pond, and they came up the side of a mountain, and they got out there for a long ways, and Grandpa looked over at his grandson, and he says, "How far are we from home?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "Where are we at?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "How do we get back?" He says, "I don't know." He said, "I guess we're lost." He says, "No, Papa, I'm not lost. I'm with you." You understand that you are never lost. You are never alone. That God the Father is with you in the middle of the storm. Now let this set in your soul right now, okay? Peter walked out there. He began to sink, right? And he cried out, "Lord, save me." What did Jesus do? He reached down there and picked him up. Have you ever thought about how Peter got back in the boat? There's only one or two ways. He either walked back and got in the boat, or Jesus picked him up and carried him back to the boat. And either way, it's okay. I can walk with Jesus, or Jesus can carry me. But praise God, He's going to be there. In the midst of the storm, remember the presence of God. And then the last part. And to me, this is the best part. I like this. Remember the power of God. In verse 39 of Mark's account, He, that Jesus, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Have you ever been in a storm? And in that storm, how long does it take the waves to calm down? You know, when Dorian went through the Bahamas, how long did it take the water to go down? How long did it take the wind to die down? How long did it take? Listen, Jesus rebuked the wind. Jesus rebuked the water. And it went from this terrible storm to a glassy sea as calm as could be at the command of Jesus. The wind listens. The waves listen. They obey the Word of God. All right, now, let this sink in, okay? Why did Peter get out of the boat? That makes no sense. You're in the middle of a storm. You think you might drown. He's going to get out of the boat. Can't you see what it would be? I mean, this is how most of us would write the story. Well, Peter got out and he went out there to walk to Jesus, and it didn't work, and he drowned. We've got to go back and tell his wife. Jesus is going to say something like, "Well, I should have never told him to get out of the boat." John's going to say, "Oh, God, we should have kept him from getting out on the water. Why did he get out of the boat?" This is good. Peter recognized that what was over his head was under Jesus' feet. I mean, the water is 200 feet deep, but it might be over my head, it might be over your head, but it's under Jesus' feet. He went out to Jesus. He said, "Listen, the storm is under Jesus' feet. Jesus is walking in victory. I'm going to walk in victory with Jesus in the storm." This was only possible because he was willing to get out of the boat and trust what God said. I'm wondering who would get out of your boat. I'm wondering who would get out of your comfort zone. And you'd come and say, "Jesus, I'm in over my head. But Jesus, it's under your feet. And God, I'm going to trust you in the midst of the storm." I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who's here today and you have a medical storm. That is, there's some things going on in your life and they don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. Would you step out of the boat and trust Jesus? Maybe it's not a physical thing. Maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe you're here today and your heart's broke. And you'd step out of the boat, you'd come and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with a broken heart. Maybe it's not a physical need or an emotional need. Maybe it's a spiritual need. Maybe say, God, I don't have any peace. I don't have any peace with you. God, I have guilt and shame in my life, and I want to be set free of all of that. Would you step out of the boat? Would you come and get God's peace? Heavenly Father, Lord, there are lots of different kinds of storms. Some we create, some others create. Some of them, God, are storms that you put us in to grow us, to mature us. Lord, I know this. We're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or fixing to go into one. Lord, I pray that if we have this invitation, that we'll step out of the pew, we'll step out of our boat, we'll step out of our comfort zone. God, we will trust you to put our storm, our problem, our need under your feet. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Do it, please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.